Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We are very fortunate to be joined by Keith Akers in Denver, Colorado. Keith is the author of The Lost Religion of Jesus, and his most recent book is Disciples. Keith's website is CompassionateSpirit.com, and he blogs about simple living and veganism in a world of limits. Thank you, Keith.
I'm very glad to be here.
I really enjoyed your book, The Lost Religion of Jesus, and I'd like to start out the interview with talking about The Lost Religion of Jesus and then going into your new book, Disciples. And from reading your book, I understand that Jesus actually did practice refraining from violence and thus not eating the flesh of animals.
Yes, I think that Jesus in the ancient movement certainly believed in kindness to animals. That's very clear, and they didn't believe in eating them. And James, it said, specifically did not wear wool. This is what Eusebius says in his historical history of the church.
One of the most fascinating items in your book was that when Jesus went to the temple was really the first act of animal liberation, the abolitionist approach.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is the one incident which is in all four Gospels. It's one of the few things that we're almost certain actually happened in terms of the life of Jesus. Historians and scholars debate about, you know, which parts of the New Testament relate authentic history about Jesus and which is just stuff that people made up later. But this one is clearly authentic. This is how Jesus is seen as a rebel. This is how he's seen as a threat to the Roman empires when he goes in to the temple and disrupts the animal sacrifice business there.
The story is universal about the money changers, leaving the whole incident out about the animals. And also, it was never brought to my attention that sacrifice wasn't just sacrifice, that it was the killing of the animals to consume them, to eat their dead flesh, and that the sacrifice was done by the priest, so that way it let go of the common man's guilt. Like, oh, I didn't do it, the priest did it, and the priest is like, well, God told me to do it. And of course, the violence, and I will say misogyny, because I see it in a patriarchal sense, that it's taking the babies of mothers away from them, whatever species they are, and saying, they're not your babies, they're ours, and we're going to do what we want with them. And so to know that it was sheep and goats and cattle and birds that were in this basement of the temple that was really a slaughterhouse.
Everybody sees it as Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers. This is what everyone remembers in Sunday school. And like the people who are dealing in animals, that just sort of falls into the background somehow, and people just sort of skip over it. But in all of the gospel passages, the first people that are mentioned are the people who are dealing in animals. And what are the animals doing there? They're the animals that are being sold to be sacrificed. They're the animals. You wouldn't drag an animal all across Palestine just to get to Jerusalem. You'd go to the temple, you'd buy your animal, and then you'd bring it to the priest, and they would kill the animal. That's how it worked. And this was a key way in which the priests maintained their livelihood, because this was a source of income for them. The temple was a big business in ancient Jerusalem. That's really sort of a major revelation for a lot of people, including me, that the ancient temple was nothing like our modern places of worship, like a modern church or synagogue would be, where you'd have people in robes and standing around singing hymns or something like that. But rather, it was more like a butcher shop or a slaughterhouse. So this is really what Jesus was doing in the temple, that he was disrupting the animal sacrifice business. The incident in the temple is one of the few incidents in Jesus' life that is in all four Gospels, and in none of them are the money changers at the top of the list. It's always the people who deal in animals. And in fact, in Luke, the money changers aren't even mentioned. John puts this incident in a different location in Jesus' ministry, but the description is much more full, so I thought I'd read that. This is from John chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers at their business. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all with the sheep and oxen out of the temple. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Well, what are the people doing selling pigeons there? This is a poor man's sacrifice. You can't afford a sheep or an oxen. You could probably afford a pigeon. People would come to the temple, they would buy their animal, and they would go in and they would offer it in sacrifice. And this was what drove the entire Jerusalem economy at the time. So this was both an economic disruption and a religious disruption at the same time, that Jesus was really upsetting the whole animal sacrifice business. And this is a central point in Jewish Christianity, what I describe in my book as Jewish Christianity and the Jewish Christian Ebionites, that they were very much against animal sacrifice. This is the key point in Jesus' ministry. This is why Jesus risks and, in fact, gives his life for this principle of not sacrificing animals.
And when you say not sacrificing animals, that includes also not eating the animal's dead flesh, not committing violence against the animals. Is that right on?
Yes, yes. In fact, in 2 points in Matthew, Jesus says, if you had known what that text means, I require mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Who are the innocent? They're the animals that are being sacrificed. In Jewish Christianity, this is even more clear. They were explicitly vegetarian. And that's what the whole controversy between Paul and James was about the question of eating meat. This really split the church about 20 years after Jesus' death.
When he said, made into a house of robbers, I now realize robbing the animals of their life, robbing the mother animals of their children, and then also about the basement of the temple, the slaughterhouse, it was thousands and thousands of animals. It was rivers of blood.
Yes, exactly. This was a big business. It went on almost continuously. When the temple was dedicated under Solomon, it says that there were countless animals sacrificed, and this process went on almost continuously.
It's unfortunate that it's still going on today, not in the temples, but nonstop slaughter.
Yes, exactly. Most people in the ancient world didn't have any ethical principles along the lines of vegans, unless you were an Essene or a Christian.
Now, when I think about these rituals and practices, I realize that it was all in context of a patriarchal society that not only were animals oppressed, but also women.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are several passages in the New Testament that actually reflect that. That's not a real strong element because that got edited out too.
I know, his message of love one another, do no harm. It's so simple.
Yes.
The golden rule.
One of my objectives is to make Christians and others be more aware of this tradition of vegetarianism in early Christianity. The later church went along with Paul. They said, okay, fine. You want to eat meat? It's fine. We don't care. And the same thing happened with simple living and nonviolence, that after Constantine, it was okay to fight in wars. So the whole message of Jesus essentially got passed by after Constantine. The Council of Nicaea, as Charles Voslavik says, was the marriage of the church and the state. And it was a funeral for primitive Christianity.
I'd like to ask two more items, one about the fish, and also, two, the connection of the Ebionites and Rastafarianism.
Well, let's start with the fish. This is a very common question because after the New Testament was written, they said, well, you know, we can't have this vegetarianism stuff. So they put in a bunch of episodes that feature Jesus either distributing fish to the 5,000 or, in one case, in Luke, actually eating fish after the resurrection. And if you do any kind of historical analysis of these passages, you can see that they're clearly later passages. If you look at all the accounts of the loaves and the fishes, and this is another account, everybody remembers, oh, the loaves and the fishes, where Jesus performs a miracle and he distributes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and they're multiplied and it feeds either 5,000 or in another incident, 4,000 people that are gathered there. This account occurs in various other places in the early church fathers. Arnobius mentions it. I believe Eusebius and some other church fathers mention this, and I discuss this in my book, The Lost Religion of Jesus. All of these outside of the Bible occurrences. In other words, all of the mentions of these that are outside of the Bible, the canonical Bible, by the early church fathers, they leave out the fish. They say, this is the miracle of the loaves. Don't you remember the miracle of the loaves when Jesus fed the 5,000 from these loaves of a few loaves of bread? And the fish is forgotten. So I'm pretty sure that the fish was a later addition. In fact, in Matthew, even Jesus himself refers back to this incident. He says, don't you remember when I fed the 5,000 from the loaves of bread? And he doesn't mention the fish.
I've also heard it that Jesus saying to the men, don't fish anymore, don't be fishermen, be fishers of men, to leave the act of violence towards other animals and just spread the message of love.
Yes, exactly. The very first thing when he calls the disciples, when he finds the disciples fishing, he says, leave these things and follow me. And so they leave it, they drop their profession, and they follow Jesus.
And that leads me into the Rastafarians. I heard a great vegan song called No Bones, No Blood by Joss Sun and Ras Attitude. And it's so great. And they're like, we don't need hooks. We don't need bait. We don't need fish. It's all about eating vegan food. It's such a great song. And then when I read your book, I'm like, oh, it started to all come together about practicing nonviolence all around.
The whole tradition of nonviolence keeps popping up in Christianity again and again and again, even though it's, quote, heretical. It continues to come up.
It's time to take a break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. We are joined by Christian author, climate activist, Keith Akers. Keith is the author of The Lost Religion of Jesus, Simple Living in Nonviolence in Early Christianity, and his second book is Disciples. After the break, Keith will be sharing more information about the practice of compassion and nonviolence in early Christianity, and will be giving some details about his work as a climate activist.
On Sunday, December 27th, from 4 to 7 p.m., join us in the front room of WCUW for a holiday party of music, food, and good cheer.
Stop with that suffering, better stop with that suffering, stop.
Bring your favorite food dish and beverage. We'll provide the buffet table, $5 suggested at the door. Performing will be grade A fancy. Savory Crackers gathered this collection of intrepid troubadours with the intention of spreading an infectious new twist to the American Roadhouse songbook.
Put me in that misery, let her go. After a while, I had to get back my old smile, stop.
Also on the agenda is the Hip Swayers, a quality good time get up and dance band that combine tight rhythms, searing solos, and soulful harmonies with an eclectic mix of originals and covers.
On the Blue Ridge Parkway, making decent time, 40 miles to go before that Pisgah Mountain sign.
That's at 910 Main Street, Worcester, WCUW Front Room, parking across the street, $5 suggested at the door. We'll see you then.
We're on a
Welcome back from the break. I'm your host, Marlene, at Vegan Nation on WCUW 91.3 FM and online at WCUW.org. We are continuing our conversation with vegan author Keith Akers, who's sharing information about the early Christians who were considered heretics for refusing to participate in hurting and attacking animals and eating their dead flesh.
The Cathars in the Middle Ages were vegetarians, and during the Albigensian Crusade in the Middle Ages, the people would be brought before them, and if anyone was suspected of being a heretic, they would be asked to kill an animal. And if they refused, they were judged to be a heretic. So you had to kill the animal or you were considered a heretic, because this is something that the vegetarians obviously would not do. And in modern times, you have other people such as Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who were vegetarians as well, and also they were the founders of Unity School of Christianity, and also Ellen White, founder of the Seventh-day Adventist, who was an ethical vegetarian. She didn't start out as an ethical vegetarian, but later in life she became one, and she says clearly this is killing animals is wrong. So this sort of heresy, this heretical idea, or it's at least currently considered to be heretical by traditional Christianity, both Catholic and Protestant, radical form of Christianity just keeps coming up again and again and again. I think Rastafarianism is just another example of this.
Keith, will you help me to understand this? Because it boggles my mind how there's so much resistance to nonviolence and compassion and harmlessness in the institutionalized Christianity.
It's hard to find any churches that are actually preaching nonviolence as the message of Jesus, as part of the gospel message. You sometimes find, like is in the Quakers or the Mennonites, you will find people who at least don't believe in killing humans. But if you're killing animals, this is much more rare. And it's very difficult for a person who's following Jesus to find a church that can accept that as part of the message of Jesus. But I'm hoping that Christianity will someday take this up.
And Keith, I first learned of your work when I was reading the book, The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony by Dr. Will Tuttle.
Yes.
And yeah, so I was really grateful that that's how I learned about you. Then I read your book and, oh, I'm so grateful that we're talking now on Vegan Nation Community Radio in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I'd like to ask, I think I remember reading, I might have been in Will's book, something about the early Christians when you just mentioned about when they refused to kill the animal and also that would refuse to harm and hurt other animals would get lead, hot lead poured down their throats.
I actually hadn't heard about the hot lead. All I knew is that they would be considered to be heretics in the Middle Ages. In the ancient times, in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, the Jewish Christians were consistently a vegetarian, and they not only believed that Jesus was a vegetarian, that the message was vegetarian, and the Clementine homilies and recognitions, which are the main documents that we know of this from, clearly say that eating meat is eating at the table of demons. You're not supposed to eat at the table of demons.
In relationship to the practice of nonviolence, of harmlessness, can you relate that also with the Essenes?
Yes. The Essenes may not have been the direct ancestors of Jesus and the Ebionites, but they were clearly spiritual cousins. And actually, in my second book, in my disciples' book, I discuss this in more detail. The Essenes were Pythagoreans, and the Pythagoreans in the ancient world were always vegetarians. They lived communally. And Philo, in fact, describes the Essenes as a Pythagorean group, and Josephus also describes the Essenes as a Pythagorean group. And if you look in the history of the ancient world, you can see that from Pythagoras and Plato, Pythagoras was a vegetarian and so was Plato, the Essenes later, about 6 centuries after Pythagoras, Pythagoras and the Buddha were about at the same time. And then some hundreds of years later, the Essenes arose. In Matthew 2:23, it said that Jesus' birth fulfilled the prophecy, he shall be called a Nazarene. These were relatives of the Essenes. So I don't think that Jesus was necessarily directly an Essene because I think he was more evangelistic. I think there's one passage in the New Testament where it says, no one hides a light under a bushel. Don't put your light under a bushel. What he's talking about is the Essenes. He thinks that the Essenes have got this great idea, but they're just hiding it. So he wants to take it out there and take it out to the people and preach, let the message of God spread far and wide and take this message of nonviolence and simple living and vegetarianism out to the world so it will spread throughout the world.
And thanks to you, Keith Akers, for spreading the message of nonviolence, simple living, and love throughout the world. And I'm really happy, too, that you mentioned Isaiah. My personal belief is that we are entering this time of, I think it's Isaiah 11:6-9, of the weapons will be turned into gardening tools, and it will be nonviolence, even amongst the animals. The consciousness of attack and fear and murder will be abolished, and that we'll enter a new age of existence on Earth. And that's what I think is coming, thanks to people like you who are spreading this message of nonviolence.
Well, thank you very much.
And we have a little bit of time left, so I'd like to hear about your work as a climate activist.
Yes, this is actually the main focus of my attention right now is on climate activism and environmental activism generally. I think everyone has heard Cowspiracy, or everyone has heard of Cowspiracy. If you haven't, you should look at it. It's a great movie. It tells you how all the environmental issues, most especially climate change, are very much connected to veganism. that veganism is a key part of dealing with climate change.
Keith, I am so happy that you are a vegan climate activist. I have a little issue with the environmentalists and climate activists who are not vegan, because I see the lack of intersectionality and the lack of compassion. And so when they have their animal agriculture scientists or the government scientists working on ways to get the cows and the bulls and the heifers and the bull calves to not produce as much methane by messing with their biology, it just clearly shows, again, misogyny and lack of compassion to want to continue the consumption of the dead flesh of these animals rather than adopting veganism. And so, again, thank you for being a vegan climate activist.
The fact is that you're not going to have any practical effects on the climate until you deal with livestock agriculture. And this is what's propping up animal agriculture, is all these fossil fuels. So it's all related. There's a huge economic issues. Really, we have to turn our whole civilization around. We have to think of it in terms of simple living and nonviolence.
Yes, and all of this leads me back to Jesus's message of as we sow, so shall we reap. And so his message, I believe, is simple. Like you express, love one another and do no harm.
Yes, we really need something like a total cultural change in the United States. Total cultural change, a total turning around of the society.
If they are resistant to veganism, to me, that's no change. It's still this idea of not wanting to extend compassion to others other than their own family, friends, and their own pets. Extend it to all sentient beings. And so that's our mission, is to extend that compassion. And so without that, the destruction will occur one way or another, somewhere or sometime.
Yes, you've nailed it exactly. That's exactly what we need. So I hope that anyone who's interested in these ideas, either the ideas about Jesus or the ideas about environmental activism, will visit me on my website, which is compassionatespirit.com. I blog frequently, at least once a month and sometimes once a week. And I've got a huge inventory of articles on all kinds of subjects related to everything that I've talked about today.
Thank you, Keith. You are a blessing on this earth. Thank you, Keith, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope to be talking to you again.
And we have been very fortunate to be joined by Keith Akers, author of The Lost Religion of Jesus, Nonviolence and Simple Living in Early Christianity, and his latest book, Disciples.
Yes.
And your website, CompassionateSpirit.com.
That's right. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Keith. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation on WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio. Join us again next week for the interview with three wise men who are vegan grassroots activists, each with their own unique form of very effective, important activism. We'll be joined by James Aspie in Australia, Jack Dean in London, England, and Worcester's own Dakota, men in their mid-20s, early 30s, who are spreading the message of love, sustainability, peace, and compassion. On this note, let's go out with Jack Dean's song, Do You See? The title of his song reminds me of the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? Do You See What I See? And these men, Keith Akers, and next week's guests on Vegan Nation, James Aspie, Dakota, and Jack Dean, are men who are bringing us goodness and light. If praying for peace worked, we'd have a world of peace by now. It takes compassionate action, which is veganism. Thank you all for listening. Here's Jack Dean's Do You See?
When I was little, I was always taught, be kind to animals, but not the ones on the end of your fork. And I thought that that was normal. I never made a connection, but something didn't feel right. Something definitely didn't smell right. My dog is no different to a pig or a cow. And how we treat the vulnerable sums up right now. How we treat the vulnerable, it sums up our nation. Greed, well-bought, and hating on immigration. My patience ran thin from where to begin. My conscience now clear from admitting it's sin. From the end to the end, I'll be the voice they send. I give my life to the sky before I ever murder again. It broke my heart when I realized what I put them through. My blood spill burning had really guided me too. It was time to start new and take the blindfold off. Be the man that stands. Why does this make so much sense to me? It's easy. One suffering can be counted equally. Unless your ignorance is hiding behind what you see. Nothing but Nazis, factory farming for animal abuse. A life for your jacket, a snack, a leather boots. It is what you choose. These decisions we impose. Living is easy. If you keep your eyes closed, my anger grows. And as I took these words flow, I was brainwashed and had to find this out on my own. These double standards, a f***ed world that consists. All the time I'm thinking, how do they get away with this? Put yourself in a victim's shoes and then see what you choose. Say death, don't lick the eye and then follow your blues. I'll make this your news, so it's your time to run. These words are spoken truth, shoot through you like a gun. And I'll die for this one. Do you understand it still? Do you think you're the only species that feels the pain you feel? And do you see they scream at us with tears? Do you see slavery inflicting fear? Do you see eyes scolded by the plate? Or do you see empathy and look the other way? Do you see lives held by the gun? Do you see existence living on the run? Do you see souls destroyed by our race? Or do you see empathy and look the other way? How can you not see this? Us for help and we just look the other way. Make some silly f***ing joke about how good they taste. The disgrace that's guiding mankind into this race. Destroying our planet and fellow beings for some food on your plate. While parts of this world are starving to death, the animals you eat are hydrated and so well fed. Now what sense does that make as you take? How about you look around at some of the consequences you create? Capture intelligent mammals for your entertainment slavery. Put on a bathtub after being stripped his mum at sea. But that's not what you see or what you want to believe. Your fur coats are tortured soul for the fashion you preach. If you don't see this, can you f***ing hear me now? These lyrics are endless and I want to change this crowd. Forget the talk, I'll fight actions with energy inside. Must we forget all beings have a right to a life? And drop the knife, the tears they will cry. We can fight us together, together we can battle this right. And with all of my might and last of blood drop, something certain that this has to stop. And DSC, they scream at us with tear. DSC, slavery inflicting fear. Do you see eyes scolded by the plate, or do you see empathy and look the other way? Do you see lives held by the gun? Do you see existence living on the run? Do you see souls destroyed by a race, or do you see empathy and look the other way? This ain't a faith, it's a fucking feeling. It's just me, but I just want you to see the pain-stricken demon that will not set them free. Where is your right to eat what you see? When eating what you want includes murdering families, how can you believe this and take it for granted? Karma is certain, make good of the seeds you've planted. You are what you eat. If it's not a graveyard you seek, then put the pain down and listen to me. Just breathe. A vegan life can save your soul. A chance to just give the ones who inhabit the earth will get their chance to live. A chance you to know what a government won't show. They will never play this song on the f***ing radio. They don't want you to hear this, so I'll speak it slow. These words hold no boundaries, it's the blood that will show. Going toe to toe in this war we must, gaining inner peace and a world we can trust.
Join us next week at this time where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.